home. Grandma, take me home.
And the girls all pretty.
Steve's show, but we're on an aircraft carrier in Coronado, California. We got four jets. I get one. We're not flying. We're in the back seat. But Ben Wolf. Ow! He's in the other back seat. Santosh. Brad Olson gets his own seat in a jet. And we are about to take off. And we are going to go blow some shit up. Welcome to the Stu Show. Hope you guys are having a beautiful day. I please want to let you know to tell a neighbor or a coworker or maybe your best friend or your sister or your brother to check out the StuShow.com, all lowercase, or the Stu Show on iTunes. Much love and aloha to everyone listening. We got Brad Olson in the house. Woo! Give it up.
You're in present.
And the wolf.
Oh. All
right, fellas. First things first, we go to Ben for a little bit of a sports update. A little bit.
Go Warriors!
All right, I was going to say, what do you think? Because a lot of people have some fucking, oh, fuck them. Da, da, da. What do you think about the Warriors winning with a sweep?
Well, the real championship was when they played Houston, and they were sure lucky that Chris Paul was injured for Game 7 and that everybody else was 3 for 27 or 30 from three-point range, because they were prepared to lose that game on the road in Houston. That was the championship. Cleveland, or let's say just LeBron and a bunch of unknowns, were ready to lose to whoever won that series. If Houston had beaten the Warriors, they would have swept Cleveland, and they'd be champs. As it was, Chris Paul was injured, the other people missed their threes, and the Warriors lucked out and got to go and beat the easy-to-beat LeBron and nobodies in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it was. What's amazing is that LeBron and nobodies were able to squeak out one out of four from them. It's almost embarrassing. You know, for the Warriors, that they lost that series.
Right.
That was after a 73-win year. They lost the
finals.
Oh,
it was horrible. It was horrible.
It was like, are you guys kidding me? But because we barely beat Durant's team, and Oklahoma City.
We're sad that the Oklahoma boys aren't here today.
To Cleveland, we got Kevin Durant.
Tarantula.
The Durantula, and kind of assured that we weren't going to lose again until somebody built another super team and came and beat us. Because they, you know, and that's what they tried to do with Chris Paul, bringing him to, you know, to Houston and putting him with a bunch of good guys, including the MVP.
You got to take in the playoffs. Two things into consideration. Ready? I think. I'm not positive, but I think LeBron James is going to move over to the Boston Celtics.
Some say Los Angeles
Lakers. Who are the Lakers?
What do you think, Ben?
Well, what does he want?
You know, money, fame.
Money and fame. Okay, if he wants money and fame, New York Knicks. Or
not
LA.
The Knicks, they horrible. Knicks he wants to go to the Celtics. He
no, but I'm
Boston.
Just saying he makes L.A., they're not contenders. I mean, Ball, he kind of underachieved. He's got an ugly-looking shot.
Yeah, you know, but
they've
in
got
LA,
some young
in L.A.,
but they're far from being ready to challenge Houston or Golden State.
If you're super rich, driving super fancy cars in, let's say, Cleveland, you're going to get a different women's selection than if you're in Los Angeles,
he's
California.
And
he's married. Yeah. With anyway, LeBron and him being a gamer,
for him
that means
would be to do what Durant did. Join the team that barely lost the previous year. Join Chris Paul and the beard. Janine calls him Habib, which is a little racist. But the beard.
What?
Because he looks Muslim.
No,
basically.
He doesn't. But go ahead.
But you guys were from Minnesota, where there's a lot of.
She's from Minnesota, yeah.
Minnesota, don't you know?
Where there aren't a whole lot of Muslims, though they do have a representative, a Muslim representative from Minneapolis.
Representative.
Who, a Democrat, obviously, who we're really proud of. Anyway, that would be the way to win championships. If he's interested in championships, he should go to San Antonio, Greg Popovich.
What?
Best coach. And if they...
And Texas!
And if they keep
Don't
Kawhi
mess
Leonard,
with Texas, ask Max Stone.
They keep Kawhi Leonard. That's a formidable team. They're in the playoffs every year. Popovich knows how to win championships. LeBron could be the next great player at it, you know, in the line of Tim Duncan, and so on. And so, as far as winning championships, that's one. And Houston joining the beard and Chris Paul and creating a super team like the Warriors. To beat the Warrior, to take the Warriors down.
I'm not going
to
do it.
If he wants
but
to win championships,
then he
that's
joins the Warrior team. Then
if
we
he
have
wants
LeBron
to win,
on our team that we're really going
to
just not lose for
if
until
he wants
those guys
to win
retire.
The East, if he just wants to win the East, joining the Celtics would be a natural.
Do the shoulder shake like Curry.
Or going to
shoulder shaking like
or
a
going
Kerr
to
dog.
Philly and joining Ben Simmons, the rookie sensation point guard. And, you know, so he can do whatever he wants because, sorry, All he right. can do whatever he wants because he's
So
LeBron.
Watch this. Ready? When was the last time, it sounds weird between the three of us. When was the last time you had a boss, Santosh? You had a boss, like you worked for him.
Paycheck, 9 to 5.
Yeah, you worked for the guy who made you.
My last real 9 to 5, 40-hour-a-week job was when I was an English teacher in Kyoto, Japan.
You didn't work for Jesse Mitchell?
Well, I thought you meant like...
A boss. When was the last time you had a boss?
I guess Messi then.
That was the last time. You've never worked for anyone else since.
So let me think.
No, you worked for yourself.
I mean, side jobs. What do you really mean? Like full time?
No, yeah. Like, you know, you had to go to work. Okay.
Well, I mean, dress up.
Okay, a job. A job. Okay, you got a job.
Yeah.
Ben, so you're like 95.
Yeah.
Ben, last time you had a boss?
2012.
Okay. For
In
me?
In Minnesota, working temp jobs.
I'll say 95. Okay. So here's the scoop.
Okay.
When was the last time your boss went to you and said this? You did such a great job for our company last year. And your contract with us is up, so you can go anywhere you want. But what we need to do here is give you a blank check. You write the number on there, just how much you think you want for the next year. And we're going to come up with that number.
Cleveland.
Did that ever happen to you?
No.
Ben?
No.
Me? No. Fuck no. Dude. KD. And I love the Oklahoma boys, and I love Kevin Durant, and everyone talks shit about him joining our team, and he just became open contractor after our, you know, like he had a contract
He's
with us.
Not leaving,
no, watch. The Golden State Warriors went like this. Kevin, here's a blank check. Just write the number of the amount you want and play for us next year, and we are going to sign it. And they just, that's it. And he's like, he looked at the cameras and went like this. I'm not going fucking nowhere. Like,
No, what made him say he was going nowhere is like, the GM kind of put his foot in the mouth by saying Curry was special because he was here first. And everybody was like, ooh, and the coach was like, there goes our team chemistry. You like when he said that. So he kind of had to make up for it, you know. And he said to Durant, he said at the rally, he was like, yeah, well, I offer you anything you want. He's like, why? Durant's like, why are you talking about that? You know, it's like, I'm not going anywhere.
Michael Jordan said that in basketball, in the NBA, you're in your prime at 30 years old. Steph Curry, oldest guy on the Warriors, 30. Kevin Durant, all the other guys, Green, Clay, right? They're like 28 and 29 years old.
So they only got a couple more years.
No. You can play until you're in your 40s.
You're in your prime.
But you're 30. Like, we have another year of like, you guys can't fucking. You're not going to stop us, dude. Not if all those guys stay together. Yeah. No fucking way.
Yeah.
And it's like a joke because everyone else hates the fact that California is whipping their ass in basketball. And it's like this. Dude, I waited like fucking years and years and years and years to watch the Warriors win a championship. I was rooting for them since 90.
Steph Curry and it's like at this, the rally.
Now it's our turn. And everyone else is like, you guys have this rip-off team. And I'm like, fuck you.
Run TMC. That was Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullin.
Dude, Tim and Chris that, burger.
And I saw that group live at Oracle beat Karl Malone and John Stockton in the Utah Jazz to go on and play the Lakers. And
we came so close a lot.
Magic in the finals. And we were like, the whole Oracle was rocking. We were going to go to the Western Conference Finals, et cetera, et cetera. That was the last moment when I was there jumping up and down at Oracle. That right, we so, did anything so or went anywhere.
Flip it real quick.
We lost to LA in the following series.
All right.
And
enough
then we
sports.
Didn't do anything.
It's the still show, Ben.
This Warriors.
Ben, team. Look at me. Ready?
No. Santosh.
Santosh, question.
Santosh is
you know who
Peter's
the...
brother. They don't know it. He's Santosh. Peter Tosh. Anyway.
Santosh.
Got it. Okay, ready? Stu Show, back in focus.
Yeah.
Do you know who the Birdman is in the NBA?
No.
He's got tattoos all over his neck. Okay. He's a white guy. You've right. never seen the guy who has
Maybe
Birdman.
I've seen a picture of him.
You have no idea. Ben, do
of
you know
course.
Who he is?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. You don't watch sports, Santosh. You have no
I'm
time.
A, I'm
Way
a,
too
I'm
busy.
I'm a huge NBA
no,
fan.
I'm just kidding.
So I'm going to know.
No, me and Ben both like the NBA. Okay, so ready? Give a little bit of history on the Birdman, as much as you can in like 10 seconds. Go.
Journeyman player who's really tough and is often an enforcer for a team who has smaller players. He will not back down from a fight, and he will show you in his much of his career he's had unexpected athleticism, great on the fast break, and a versatile player who's really a journeyman and has played for championship teams and others. He's probably played for at least 6 different teams.
Where do you get the name Birdman?
It says it on his neck in like rainbow colors, dude. He's got a huge tattoo.
Okay,
so check it out. This guy, famous NBA player, pretty young.
What's the name again? I forget.
Hold on. Let me get to the point. He gets in touch with this super smoking hot chick. She's young, you know, I don't know, 18. I mean, he's in his 20s, but she's model material, like, and They're texting back and forth. This other girl that lives in, like, Kansas, or, you know, nothing to fucking do, nowhere to go, ugly, dumb bitch, right? She hacks into their computers and starts sending them texts to each other, right?
Jack.
Like, I want to hook up with you. You should come out here, right? And then he writes back, that would be great. You know what I mean? But he's not even texting. But then she'll text him back, so when do you want me to come out? For real. And he's like, oh, you want to come out? Why don't you come out this weekend? Right? All this stuff. Dude, this chick that was hacking into this dude's computer, the team that he was on, caught wind of this shit before they found out that this bitch was sabotaging this fucking guy, right? Via hacking his and her computer. You got fired from the team, bro. And the NBA was like, we're not going to deal with you anymore. And then, I mean, when you're used to making over $1 million and then you're not making anything, it's like this with Santos. You can make Chris sandwiches at fucking Burger King now.
5 in the morning.
And he's like, what the fuck just happened? And then finally, they found out who did it and shit. And then, not the team that he was famous for, the light blue and gold, but he did get back into the NBA.
Talking about the Birdman still?
Yeah, dude. All like, right. He got sabotaged by using the computer. Whereas, like, I see shit like that, and I'm like, I use the computer for having fun. I don't meet people on the computer. I don't want to fucking know you worth shit squat. I don't care how hot you are. And I only use it to have fun with, right? Have fun getting in touch with me on my computer. You can listen to my fucking show, but you'll never sabotage my world.
What do you
like
mean?
That
I wouldn't have any Facebook ruined. Friends if I didn't have people I know contacting me. Hot chicks from
Fuck
Russia or whatever.
Facebook.
They're all my Facebook friends. No, I'm just I've got hundreds of them.
A slam dunk.
So-and-so wants to be your friend. Okay, okay, okay. Yes, yes. Be my friend.
No, let's go to one sound bite here. Let's see what I got.
The more weed I smoke, the more paranoid he gets. There's something wrong there. And then there's the royal wedding. To say I am excited would not be accurate.
My wife was in London for the royal wedding. And heard a bunch of people from her work, like, went to a pub and watched it.
Right.
And I'm like this. Yeah, I missed it. Totally not interested.
Wasn't into it.
Like, I don't know exactly her background, right? But I'm pretty sure she's just, like, kind of an actress, hot chick from L.A. Half black, half Mexican or some shit, right?
Yeah.
And, I'm like this. Can't the family intervene? Like, she is not royalty quality. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Bringing in some fucking hot chick? Just go there and have fun with her, but don't bring her back here and marry her and bring her in as a princess or whatever the fuck it's called, if he's the prince, right? Or is he the king?
So my mom was proud of her English ancestry.
Fucking faggy.
And she had been taught by her father the entire line of kings of England, which she could recite, but ended at Victoria because that's when her father was going on. If Victoria and may long may she reign is how it ends. But so she was into everything royal, and she was wrapped up with Lady Di and that whole thing. She just loved it, and I think she would have loved this one too. And for my sake, they are so bad teeth, inbred white people. They need some mixed blood marriages to, like, help their lineage out. Oh my God, have you seen the dad's teeth? It's, oh my God.
Ben. You don't know that it's illegal. You don't know that it's illegal to be a dentist there, huh? You can go to jail for fixing someone's teeth there.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 years, one tooth pull. 5 years.
But the royal family is so inbred that they need a little
new blood.
American.
Yes,
in there.
Definitely.
But you know, Harry's kids are so far down the line.
Harry.
Brother William.
Right. But I'm just saying, it's not a bad trend.
Yeah.
You look at the people attending the wedding, and it's just like, how many of these people are just about ready to die? My mom was named after Elizabeth, and she would have been 90 on the 26th of May. She would have been 90. Oh. She was named after Elizabeth, who's still alive, and her husband's still alive, and all of their friends are just like, what the fuck? All
right, I don't know if you can put a face to it, right? But if you can, do you know who Jonathan Winters is?
Yeah.
He went to Kenyon where I went.
Okay, ready? This freaking clip right here makes me feel not funny. And I think I can be funny sometimes.
Every time John comes on, we kind of give him a little exercise here, since you do so many characters, to talk about traveling. I'm going to give you a couple of names of, say, tourists from other countries who are coming over to America on vacation, and you just give me your impressions or why they came here or wherever it flows, all right? British agent Leslie Sitzpuffin.
Actually, it's Fitzpuffin.
Fitzpuffin, sorry.
It's mispronounced. It was when I was first a young agent, and obviously still being mispronounced. That's perfectly understandable and perfectly all right. I've never been in all my travels. I was in the British Army, and as a youth, I wasn't with any army. I was just mainly at home in Devon. But when I jumped out of school, I went directly to Africa, and then we engaged the Italians there, and then the Germans too, and I was in the bloody war for some time, and then time took its toll, and I went to India and raised snakes. And
Snap.
Is a killer in comedy.
It's old school, man.
Now I want to go to America, and I my chief reason for going, there's so many reasons. I mean, you think of 50 states, my God in heaven, that's a tremendous amount of people in a vast country. I can only think of China and Russia being as big, or Africa. America's right in there. It's just enormous. And so much going on, you know, color TV and automobiles on the highways and pretty girls doing things. And so I want to go and see a baseball game. Any man that makes a couple of £1 million with a mitten in the middle of summer.
A mitten?
Catching a silly white ball and hitting something with a stick, I won't see it. Just.
Well, if I don't see it, I suppose I'd go directly to an apartment and put my head near an air conditioner unit. All right, thank you.
All right. So, speaking of traveling around the world, first things first, to Brad Olson.
Check.
You've been to Africa?
I have.
You've been in Asia.
Many times.
You've been
in Asian women.
Spain.
Many times.
You've been to Italy.
Several times.
And now you're about to embark on a new 9 month.
4 month.
Okay, maybe four, but you might,
Yeah.
You might make it nine. You never know.
Nah, all right, ready? For how weird.
No.
Got work to do.
Can't you do it via Skype and
no,
just
I
pick
can't.
Up a paycheck?
No, it's
I'm
not
kidding.
Done that way.
I'm kidding. Okay, so
not
ready?
For event.
Your 4 month vacation. Give me the scoop. What do you break it down as? Where are you going?
It's more than a vacation. It's a research trip. And I've already pitched the two organizers of Contact in the Desert. And I will be presenting on this next year in front of potentially thousands of people. Because what I want to do down there is, first, flying into Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Buenos Aires. It just sounds bomb, like Monaco. Or
you know what it means in Spanish?
The Marseille. What does it mean?
Good air.
Because it's so clean down in Mex.
That's what Magellan named it when he was sailing around.
That was before they built Mexico City, and it has the gnarly friggin' pollution.
Magellan's like, damn, nice air here. Anyways, I'm going to look to buy a camper van because that's the way most Europeans or Israelis come here to travel, and it's a big country. Argentina is a big country. It's
Argentina.
Like from Canada to Mexico.
I had a girlfriend from Mendoza, if you go through there.
Mendoza?
No, that's how the Spanish would say it, Mendoza.
Yeah. So then when they spent a week or two in Buenos Aires and Montevideo, Uruguay, where they just legalized pot in the whole country.
In Uruguay.
Uruguay, yeah. And you can just take a ferry over. It's not far away.
Nice.
You know that guy that... Hold on. You know that guy that we used to play... We used to play volleyball with at Baker?
Yeah.
Jorge. Yeah, and we would be like...
He's Russian, though.
We would make a joke and be like, all right, you're gay. Pass the ball over here, buddy.
Uh-huh.
And when you just said, what's the name of it?
Buenos Aires.
No. Uruguay. You said something like
Uruguay.
Oh, Uruguay. Uh-huh. I'm like, it reminds me of that dude at Baker. You're like, you're gay. Come here, buddy. You're gay. Get over here, buddy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we're looking to, and I say we with my girlfriend Emily. We want to. I think the most efficient and practical way to get around such a big area would be to buy a camper van and then sell it at the end of the trip. So you don't have the rental fees. And sometimes the way the Israelis and Europeans or Australians do it when they come here, they don't even spend money on it. Like, they'll sell it for the same amount they bought it for.
Yeah,
close.
Back and back.
That's
back
what
and back, back
Cal
and, back,
and
back
his
and
friends
back.
Did in traveling around New Zealand.
In New Zealand.
They bought a Eurovan.
A Eurovan, yeah.
And traveled all around New Zealand for like 5 months and then sold the new Eurovan for about what they got it for, you know.
That's the way to do it.
Take $100 or two off and bam, sell it. Boom, that whole thing cost me only $200. Woohoo! Yeah.
So it's flying to Buenos Aires on November 2nd.
Buenos Aires.
And remember, that's our winter up here, but it's their summer down there.
Do you have any kind of idea of what beautiful women are in Buenos Aires?
Well, I'll be traveling with one, so that'll work.
Buenos.
But I'll probably get like a pension on the
I could say Mendoza has good women.
Being in Aries, sitting next to a Leo over here, thinks he's the king of the jungle, but an Aries is like god of war. I fucking...
You airhead.
Yeah, I like banging heads.
You fantasize a lot.
It's like this.
Your fantasy world.
I'm already in Spanish. It says Bueno Aries. Like, he's the super good Aries. Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aries. The shit,
so
dude. Buenos Aires.
I
want to go there just because I'm an Aries. It's like, dude, this is Buenos Aires.
About 2 weeks around Buenos Aires, and Montevideo is just across the bay. You can take a ferry there, I'm sure. And then it's not a big country, so to cross over into Brazil. 2 weeks just doing overland while looking for a car in potentially three countries. And whenever finding it, just taking off from there, going north to Aguzu Falls.
Aguzu.
One of the coolest waterfalls in the world. And that's right at the intersection of Brazil, Argentina.
Well, Niagara's pretty awesome, but what makes this one cool?
And Paraguay. Just very spectacular, very tall.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been to Argentina, but I can tell you about Monica, my Argentinian girlfriend, who was living in...
Monica!
Who was living in Oakland in the early 90s when I was dating her.
Fast and Furious.
I recommend having the drink called Rompope. That was a good one. She and her Spanish friend Paz, were party animals, and I worked 9-to-5 jobs and commuted, and I would go see her and show up at like 8, and they were just getting ready. They worked too, but they were just getting ready to go out like party until like 2 a.m. on a weekday. It was exhausting trying to keep up with them. It was just like they were just party animals. But
rock star.
on a vacation, she slept with another guy, and I guess it's not a big deal in Argentina. They're kind of like the Cubans, where, you know, even if you're married, it's like if things pop up, maybe you go for it. I don't know what, but she told me about it.
If things pop up, you mean a penis?
I was like, what the hell? You know, because I thought, you know, we had been together for like 6 months at that time or something like that, 4 months, five. Anyway, so then she tried to pass me off to her roommate, Paz, who was younger and hotter and richer. But it was just too weird for me. It was like, I don't know.
All right, quick question.
It just kind of led me into the world a little bit of the thinking about sexuality and relationships and so on, and how that changes from country to country.
I'm asking you a question of sexuality, real quick. I'll ask Sanders, and I'll go to Ben. Be honest with me. Do you think if, you know how like a guy sees like a really, really good set of breasts, boobs, rack, whatever you want to call it, right? It kind of turns you on. If a woman sees a dude that's like super well hung and meaty,
how can you tell though?
Maybe he was getting out of the shower and she saw it. I'm saying when she sees like just fucking dudes.
It's
got
always about sex on the Stu show.
No, it's not. Okay, ready?
I didn't even get
when it's
even
chunk,
close to telling you
when
about
it's
my
got shirt. Girth and it's like hanging down like and it's super big.
This
do you
is
think,
so interesting to me.
Do you think that women see it as a pair of boobs like that's fucking hot?
I don't know. Ask
do you
them.
Think that's what they think?
Some do, some don't.
Ben? I'll go to that because Santaj is like, I don't think about sex.
Nah, I don't want to talk about guys' dicks. Come on, this is stupid.
No, it's not.
I thought you
no,
were
going
to bring
not.
A more intellectual tone to the
no,
Stu show.
No, it
at
is
least
not,
when I was on.
Ben.
Talk about smut when
no,
I'm not here.
It's not smut.
Well,
do
guys,
women
dicks,
do women look at
it's
a
all
guy's
hypothetical.
Charm.
We have three guys here, and you're asking us what we think women think about. Well,
a
get a woman on the Stu show and ask her, and until then, let's change topics. Okay?
Please.
You guys are going to go blow each other after the show, so shut the hell up. No. All right. We got one little comment from my boy here. I don't know what Ben and Santosh are doing right now, but I do not like it. Get your clothes back on! Jesus, you guys! I'm just fucking with you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Don't hate exhibitionists, okay?
The elephantitis of the balls. Just that one mound of... What the hell happened to you? Easy, tiger. All right. You guys, it's been a great show. Do you have anything you want to fucking plug, Santesh?
Well, I'm going to also try to go to Antarctica and maybe the Falkland Islands, too, when I'm in southern Argentina.
That's exciting. That's great.
That's the focus of the trip,
that's great.
Really.
That's great.
And the whole spine of the Andes from Chile to Argentina.
Nice.
From Peru through Bolivia all the way
Machu
down to
Machu Picchu, maybe?
Fuego. Yeah. That'll be the farthest north, I guess.
Nice.
Whole trip. It's mostly a southern tour of the southern continent.
That's excellent. That
and
sounds
then I'll
fantastic.
I'll join the Seven Continent Club if I get Antarctica under my belt.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But don't you have a show you want to plug?
I'm on the host on the Esoteric Circle, but I'm going to put that show on hiatus for a couple months.
But people can still look at it online,
they
right?
They can still check it out. Yeah.
And what about your books? You got any books?
CCCpublishing.com are all my books and those I publish. And also bradolson.com if you want to find out more about me.
One day, I was on the computer, and I was like, I wonder if you have to, like, make it happen or if it just freaking happens in 2018, right?
Uh-huh.
And I would just type in, just say, bam, whoa, bam. And then Stuart Fallon. Bam. Fuck no. Brad Olson. Boom. You got a whole page.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like big timing it.
Okay. I do a lot of stuff in the media, online. Names getting out there.
Well, I want to say rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain. We loved you, and we'll miss.
We gotta mention the Bourdain thing.
Personality.
We gotta mention the Bourdain thing.
Check.
All right. I think he had way too good of a life, and I think he knew too much. And fucking someone that didn't like the facts that he had found out and knew, offed that guy and played it off like he got hung. Like that woman on a few episodes of mine ago got hung in Coronado. I don't think she hung herself, and I don't think Anthony Bourdain hung himself. But let's hear what the boys have to say about this.
So you're saying he was suicided?
I think he got killed.
Apparently, it made it appear as a suicide.
Sure, totally killed himself.
I agree with that.
Because his life sucks so bad.
No,
I mean, there are tons of potential conspiracy theories. He talked shit about Putin in length when he shot in Moscow and his room was bugged, and they threatened the restaurant he was going to meet an opposition party person. The restaurant was threatened before the meeting, so his room had been bugged, and they tried to interrupt his show and the...
So you're saying fishy business.
And in the whole episode, he was going, have I talked about how small a guy Putin is? How short he is?
And Putin...
Did I mention that he's small?
Kind of like... And Putin, ooh! They get people killed.
Yeah, and Putin, can assassinate people. Plus,
Russians
Anthony's...
No problem getting you
conspiracy
off,
theory number two... Anthony's girlfriend, Asia Argento, was the one who outed the Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein. And he's got a bunch of people out there who are potentially...
pedophiles.
Who are potentially getting revenge on her, you know. Conspiracy number three here. I'll let you take it from here.
What do you think?
Well, it builds on yours, Ben, and that... Because his girlfriend outed Weinstein. You don't think they talked about all the weird, perverted people in Hollywood and all the pedo rings and things like that? So what I'm
Through
hearing
30.
Is that Bourdain, much like some of his predecessors who hung themselves in recent years, two notable rock singers.
Yes.
Chris Cornell was found hung in his room in Detroit. He also had
lead singer of
Soundgarden, but he was
Audioslave.
Audioslave, another project. But he was had several broken ribs. Now, do you break your ribs before you hang yourself, or does that show signs of getting roughed up?
And or maybe you hung yourself
suicided.
Because your ribs were broken.
And then if you look at a picture of Chad,
and I had seen him in concert 2 months before that, Chris Cornell here in Santa Rosa.
The weirdest thing when they hide up the evidence and put it onto a suicide, you never know what's going through someone's head. Like, successful people kill them fucking selves, right?
But go on.
I know guys who are fucking like my friend Norm.
Thought and get interrupted.
But I don't think. No, I want. I don't think.
Carry on if you guys want to interrupt me.
I don't think.
Say what you want, but
everybody.
Let me finish that is,
yeah, go ahead. I just don't think that everybody that.
Who is the lead singer of Linkin Park?
Don't know.
Chad Bennington, is that his name?
I think so.
Pretty close. Put up a picture of him and John Podesta side by side. You see that he may be the baby daddy of John Podesta. Point is, John Podesta is up to his neck in pedophilia accusations and certain sex rings that ran out of D.C.,
mm-hmm.
also known as Pizzagate. And John Podesta has basically dropped off the radar in recent weeks. He used to tweet every day, and he hasn't been saying much.
Touch my son, I'll fucking kill you.
Exactly. So this stuff runs really deep, and people who are public figures who may tell someone if their room is bugged that they're going to go public, that they know these people and they want to take them down, like Anthony Bourdain's girlfriend,
was
calling out Harvey Weinstein. And these guys, him and her, must have talked quite a bit and say, hey, you know, we want to do what's right. We want to protect these children who may be swooped up in these sex rings.
Let's be honest. How much do you think it costs to pay someone to kill someone?
It's cheap.
How much?
few thousand dollars.
How much does that guy Weinstein have?
Maybe more for.
How much
yeah,
does Weinstein have?
Multi-millionaire.
How much does he have? Like how much?
He's rich.
Dude, he just throws down some bank and someone will do
sure.
it. Fuck yeah, some psycho will fucking go shoot someone for loads of money.
All right, let me just finish the thought and then you guys open
no,
it up.
No, go.
So Ben wanted to know what the theory was with the pedos. And that is, if you say you're going to go public with what you know, and this may also be why Michael Jackson died under suspicious causes. He was about to do a whole string of shows in London. And he'd been blabbing lately about a lot of this stuff, including the sex of Hollywood and how perverted it is. And there are people that do not want this information to go out there.
It's very superstitious.
If it is spoken to by a celebrity who has a lot of fans and followers,
yes,
that is a threat to these people who want to protect their secrets. And as you said, it's not that expensive to put a hit on someone. And what do? They make it look like suicide. So they hang the guy.
It takes a true... It takes
only
a
2 weeks before, Asia Argento had spoken at Cannes Film Festival saying that as a young teenage actress, she was preyed upon by Harvey Weinstein and that Cannes was a predatory ground for, you know, serial... she didn't say pedophiles, but serial
rapists.
And that she was like, look at yourselves in the mirror. That was like 2 weeks before the death of Anthony Bourdain. It was like, or less than.
Right. So they're a threat.
You know,
and
exactly.
Look, Weinstein's on trial right now. He does not want outspoken celebrities to besmear his name even more than... So $10,000 on
ready?
Bourdain to shut him up.
And it's easier in a foreign country.
Way cheaper than a lot of lawyers.
Ready? Weinstein had an open door with that pocket of money to get the fuck out of here and go to like somewhere in this world where he could hide. He didn't do it. There's no chance that dude's going down. You're going to jail, buddy.
And
a tracking chip.
Oh, you're going to jail.
But beyond that,
J-A-I-L.
Bourdain was an easy target because he had a shooting schedule. He always stays at the same hotel, and he always stays in the same suite.
Wow. So they know where to find him.
Exactly. They might have even had room keys made.
Wow.
And the jail he's going to go to has got swimming pools and it's like
and
a spa. It's
how
like
much does it take
gay.
To pay off a bellboy, a maitre d', a room service.
Come in the middle of the night and rappel down to his balcony and come in
exactly.
that way. Go out that way and nobody even sees him.
Exactly.
If I was the judge, like Ed the lawyer became a judge, I'd be like this. I really know that you're paying and this, that, and the other to get into this comfortable jail, but we're going to put you in San Quentin.
Yeah.
Get out in the yard in Quinn. See what happens. Is dead. Oh, those fucks are gnarly.
Yeah,
they'll just fucking kill them. But they won't do that. They're like, no, we'll put you in a super luxury place. You got your own TV, videos, this, that, there, gourmet food, swimming pools. Just, you gotta do the time. And it's like, well, that's not fair either.
Did you know the sister-in-law to David Spade also had been suicided recently? And she too was outspoken on pedophilia and major perversion in Hollywood. That is how you make it. We've said it all along, Stu. For a guy, you gotta work the pecs and stay off the jackass juice if you wanna make it in Hollywood.
That's right.
And for a chick, it's the casting couch. Everyone knows it. And I've known actresses and models. They've
been
say,
going
absolutely.
On since
but
day one
they,
of Hollywood.
But then
yeah,
they
yes.
but then they also ruin their career in the meantime because
they lose their integrity.
Well, also because everybody they work with has said, oh, you got a job on that show.
Right.
Meaning that every
nice,
girl
man.
Who
I
gets
like that.
A job on that
this
show
was the big one.
Had to sleep with that son of a bitch.
And we know you fucked him.
Finance
like
guy.
I'm watching these old shows on
some
TV,
big fat gnarly
like,
hairy dude
from the sixth from when I was a little
sweating
kid,
all over you
from when I was 3 and 4 years old. Wild Wild West, Star Trek, shows like that, and they had these starlet beauties.
Yeah.
come in every single episode. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. Do those beauties go anywhere? Have you ever seen them again in anything? How did they get that job, and why didn't they get another job?
Because they boned somebody to
get
on the show.
They got that job because they had to screw somebody.
They were a waitress that was hot. And the guy went in and said, hey, you want to come to my house and I'll put you on a TV show? And next thing you know, they're on a TV show. And then next thing you know, no one knows who they are.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, it's like covered up on a massive scale. In that
hit it and quit it.
Everyone who's hiring knows who what the shows are and the movies studios are.
Right now. Me and you.
Anyway, Weinstein.
I know a girl. I know a girl. Ready? Santaj? I need a girl who knows the meaning of.
You say.
Fucking hit the highway.
Silly guy.
You won't do it as fucking. He's so. You think this chick is gonna hear this fucking show?
She already listened to your last one, dude.
Oh, great.
Well,
awesome.
You got a potty mouth. Maybe I won't tell her about this.
Jesus Christ. All right, so. On the fact of Jesus. No, ready? UFOs, aliens. The world's so fucked up and so angry at each other right now.
Check.
In 2018.
Right.
That. It used to be like this. If the aliens come down and try to invade our world, it would unite the whole world. And in this day and age, it's like this. No, it wouldn't. People would join the aliens to try to fuck up other countries and shit. Like, it's so mayhem right now, dude. It's crazy. But weren't you talking about Antarctica the other day?
Yeah, I want to go there at the end of the year.
No, I want to hear why.
Well, finally, an intelligent question.
Shut up, Santa.
Sex drives. Yeah, Antarctica is the.
Get your balls away from Ben's mouth!
See, you can't stop.
You bring it up. I'm going to keep going, dude.
No,
that's how it rolls.
All on your own.
Roll the dice. See what happens. Snake eyes!
Well, there's a lot of mysteries down in Antarctica, and I want to just investigate, ask some questions, do some interviews.
No, but no one knows what you mean by that.
It's called the Illuminati Disneyland, and that's why all the elite are heading down there in the last few years, from royal families to top politicians to very wealthy people or known people like Buzz Aldrin was in Antarctica less than a year ago.
And the Bourdain.
Did Bourdain go down there?
Less than a year ago.
No kidding. Wow. I didn't know that. And they're all going to see this place called the Illuminati Disneyland. And that's interesting, Ben, because that would show that he has a certain level of clearance with this group of people.
He's famous.
He's a famous guy. Yeah. John Kerry was there on Election Day. King Carlos III of Spain was there. The Patriarch of Russia, Kirill. Which is like the Pope and maybe the Pope himself, maybe Obama and Trump, although they didn't disclose it. They were down in South America and couldn't have made a shot, as well as Obama being in San Carlo di Bariloche, which is this barbarian-like Argentinian large village that's very much like a Russian or a German mountain hamlet town. And this is where a lot of the fugitive Nazis went after World War II. And some of them were never captured.
Okay. Getting interested.
So that's the other thing I want to do
if
in South America.
If you want to see a movie on one of them, watch Hotel Terminus about Klaus Barbie. But go on.
Okay. Did he disappear down there?
Basically, the precursor of the... So basically, the most wanted war criminal at the very end of World War II and the defeat of the end of World War II, the war against Germany, was Klaus Barbie, who was called the Butcher of Lyon.
Yeah.
And
the Butcher.
He was most wanted war criminal, wanted everywhere, number one Nazi.
Okay.
But it turns out that the predecessor of the CIA hit him out for... Decades and decades created a new identity.
Where?
In Argentina.
In Argentina, there we go.
Exactly. Boys from Brazil.
And the CIA were involved. That's where it gets really interesting.
Anyway, and so they hid him out. It wasn't even the CIA yet, but they hid him out. Bro created a new identity. He was living a happy life because as soon as we defeated the Nazis, it was Russia. We created the Cold War. Russia was the instant enemy number one. And we hired all the Nazis we could get. And he had all, he had tortured so many Russians, he had all this information the CIA wanted because he had tortured thousands of Russians, Jews, and so on. And so they used all the information get from him and then put him down in Argentina. And this guy was doing a documentary on him. And then in doing the long documentary, discovered this dude is still alive and probably living in Argentina.
Breathing, heartbeat.
Tracked him down there.
Getting laid.
And found him in a suburban area. Based on that, Israel sent a commando unit in.
The troops.
And snagged him and brought him for war crimes trial. And then the movie Hotel Terminus has the war crimes trial part. And
all right. Hotel Terminus. I want to watch that.
The whole thing of, like, after he lives a life free. After he lives a life free, is it really punishing him to put away an 86-year-old man who only has 2 years to live anyway? What kind of punishment is that? This is one of the most awful guys ever.
Right.
You know, and to know that he lived happily
it's
because
a mercy
of what
killing,
we
just
did.
Shoot him in the head. Bam.
It's like, wow.
All right, yeah. Oli.
Ah.
You were saying about the ice melting.
Yes.
And there might be something being exposed.
Yes.
I want to hear about that.
Okay. Let's try to do this one without interruption. The Illuminati Disneyland consists of several different, very intriguing locations, including... because there are volcanoes that are now erupting on the southern continent. According to Dr. Sala, who just presented at Contact in the Desert, this is the real reason the ice shelves of Antarctica are melting. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because of the global warming, we've been told, but in this case, on the southern continent, think about it. Volcanoes are very hot. Nothing stands in the way of lava. And this is what's bringing the level of ice down. And what it's doing is exposing a lot of things that have been trapped under the ice, including massive UFO craft, some as far as long as 3 miles in diameter. According to Emery Smith, 3 ships are now exposed. And the word is getting out. The elite's been going down there and checking this out. But not just the ships. There are also 3 pyramids, which are almost equal in size to the 3 pyramids of Giza, Egypt. There are also megalithic buildings under the ice that are being excavated, and we're seeing that there was once a civilization on Antarctica, including pulling out Ice Age creatures like woolly mammoths from the ice and these giant humanoids. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of mysteries down there. They seem to be centered around this very widely dispersed area called Illuminati Disneyland. I got to get some good maps out and start charting it. But then there's also Base 322, the new Berlin of the Nazis in what is now known New Schwabenland, Antarctica, and an area called the there's Lake Vostok under the ice, and there's also the Schumacher Ponds, which are geothermal springs that the Germans used in Base 322. So all of this requires...
Base 322 meaning?
New Berlin, the Nazis' hideout after World War II.
In Antarctica.
Correct.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of mysteries down there. Yeah.
You make it seem like everyone knows this.
Okay.
Slow down.
No, I'm just talking about Antarctica here, and there's a lot of mysteries down there. But right now, tourists who essentially I would be if I can't get some kind of clearance to go there, only get to see the penguins. You only get to see the emperor penguins of Antarctica unless you have a plane with skis on it that can go out to some of these farther afield locations.
It's
But of course, the best time to go is during summer solstice, which is December 21st in the Southern Hemisphere. And that's when I'm going to be there next year.
So if I chartered a plane trip after I chartered the flights to get to the closest place, or a boat, whatever it takes, and then we take a plane, they can't stop us from going and checking it out?
No, they can, because you need clearance. And that's military clearance.
If you fly in there, they'll just be like, it's Area 51.
You
get
can't.
The
no,
fuck
they
out of here.
They'll intercept you and
so
make
you
beat
it.
Go back. Yeah.
Yeah, beat it.
So you have to get clearance. But Emory's.
Who has military control down there?
Well, it is an area that no one nation owns, so it's controlled by really all nations, the United Nations, perhaps. But if there
are the people saying you can't go.
Right. Well, if there's a sensitive military-like zone, they can keep you out of there.
Okay.
And they would certainly cordon off.
And the military's U.S., I think, is Ben's question.
I think there could be several militaries that might be in conjunction, because
French.
People from around the world are going down there. The king of Spain went down there. You got people like Patriarch Kirill from Russia. So it could be all the nations are sitting on this secret, but just allowing some of their wealthiest elite. Prince Harry and his buddies cross-country skied out to it because that's the way they wanted to go. Yeah.
All right, so you're thinking the volcano heated it up. This is per se. It melted down to where you can see UFOs.
So the crafts are now being exposed.
UFOs.
Correct. And people are starting to fly drones over and getting footage, and it's only a matter of time before this starts getting out, if it's not already.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be a very opportune time, maybe a historic time, to be among the first civilians to be able to go down there and do an investigation. But let's not kid ourselves. Going to Antarctica is not like kicking it on a beach in Brazil. It's hardcore.
You got to get your gear.
You got to have gear, and you got to be ready for really cold weather.
Well, we got three burly dudes right here, and we go buy some gear.
There's more to it than that. It's also the clearance issue, and it's also the expense of mounting an expedition.
Well, if you can get the clearance, Mr. Bookgrader Gay.
I'll do my best.
Well, we got North Face down the street, and how Weird Festival can buy clothing. I'm just kidding.
Well, no. What I was doing is talking to O'Rourke about what kind of equipment to take, and he's going to look into it, including what Jimmy Church of Fade to Black says, get a satellite phone. And we'll put you on Coast to Coast or Fade to Black. We'll do reports from Antarctica.
Right.
Maybe we don't get past the penguins, but it would still be pretty fascinating to do a live
show.
That
would be cool.
From Antarctica.
I already own, you know, the guys who filmed going up to Everest, they use mountain hardware tents?
Yeah.
Trago 2. That's the one I got. You just get stuff that's capable of being freezing freaking cold. Like
that'll be
bags.
Yeah,
their
down in Puentes Arenas.
The boots you need, crampons, whatever it freaking takes.
So,
but I'm like this.
You only need it for Antarctica, and people come in and out, and they would have stores that resell it or rent it, and we don't want to take it with us.
How many times has people told you at this party or this gathering or whatever, you have to either pay or you can't come in, but you snuck in?
It's been known to happen.
Ben?
Shaking head yes.
Many times.
Oh,
what's your point?
Dude, I get there, it's like this.
You think you can just sneak in
Illuminati
Disneyland?
I just go recogging.
It's not like a party,
SEAL
dude.
Team, dude. Like,
it's not like climbing a fence and you're in there.
I grew up in fucking Nato. It's like this. All right.
You've been to Mexico.
Many, many times. Uh-huh. You gotta get. Okay, this is where these guys are. It's like breaking. It's like breaking out of jail.
Yeah.
You're like this. We gotta break in to jail.
You're not talking about a Schwarzenegger movie. You don't have your dudes out of the van. You're not highly trained, swimming up in scuba gear with your tuxedo underneath. You know.
James Bond, 007.
It's like.
No, you got to fly hundreds of miles over the Drake Passage, which is one of the most notoriously rough seas. Yeah, hardcore, man.
You pull it in low.
Then you're just making shit up, man. You don't know the reality.
Then you get on a boat and you have a tux to the plane, right?
Yeah.
Then you paddle it over there.
No, you don't just paddle over there.
Well, if you've done your recon,
dude, there's icebergs floating.
You get on the shore. All your gear.
Yeah.
Everything, your hat, your fucking goggles, everything, it's white. So when you lay in the snow, it's like this. Fuck, I don't see anything. I can't fucking see shit. It's like camo, but for the snow.
Okay.
And so then you reconnaissance, and you're going to have to do SEAL Team. Like, you're not crawling. You're laying on the ground and moving like a snake for miles.
Right.
For miles.
You're talking about the frozen ice fields of Antarctica. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink?
Power bar. I'll be fine, dude. Oh, yeah. You're making a joke. I got a fucking puppy in my knapsack.
See, I take it seriously.
He crawls for 3 miles until he trips the automatic sensors.
Yeah, like Area 51.
You have those,
and then Whackin' Hut comes out and arrests us.
It's like a radar in your car for when the cops are trying to pull people over for speeding. You've got all that equipment.
It's like
all of a sudden, you spray some stuff, you see the red light. Up over there and lay back down. No one can see me. I'll get in anywhere. You shouldn't take me.
Yeah, like checking you out. Go. What is this guy?
Yeah,
what is
this guy doing?
Oh, okay, ready.
That's Stuart climbing a fence.
Ready. When we were gonna climb the mountain with Shanine. How high is it?
We were camping at 8,900 feet at horse camp
at
Mount Shasta,
and it goes to
14,420
feet.
There you go. Yeah.
It's 14,420 feet.
I was at 8,200 feet yesterday.
So we had a bad storm, right, man? Bad storm. We couldn't go. They wouldn't let us climb up the mountain.
So we had a package.
So we were just like sitting around, just drinking, smoking, digging in around. There's the camp of another group of school teachers from Palo Alto and this other group of these dudes that were like firemen or some shit. And then we're all like, well, we're all gonna go for it. We're not leaving until we can go, and it's only gonna be a couple days. Let's say we make a bet between the three groups. Whoever gets up there the first, right, like single man alone, like not the group, like whoever can do it the fastest. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. And then it, like a few days went by and they were still like, no, you can't go. And then me and Santosh and Shinichi are just freaking probably smoking weed and getting drunk and then fall asleep. And then the next morning,
it's go time.
The guy who's done it the fastest in the whole world leans into my tent and goes, dude, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Those guys left at 5. You should get the hell up. Today's go time. You're allowed to go. And I was like, oh shit, what? Fuck, they got a 3-hour jump start on us? So then we start trekking up this hill. We have ice crampons, pickaxes, fucking all the gear we need. We start trudging up this hill. I had to bail Santosh and Shinichi. Like, I'm not letting these fuckers win, dude. And I charged past the two dudes, and I just... And then I see that group of school teachers, and they're way up from me. And they get to this... like ice cave, and they're sitting in it and they stop, and I'm like and I fucking get up to them and they're like, holy shit, what's up, dude? And I'm like, what's going on?
Let's go to summit.
That was burly. Like, my heart's like get it. And I was like, fuck, I need to rest. And the two dudes that are with these other chicks are like, we're not getting beat. Like, grab their backpacks. We gotta go! Like, right as I get there. And I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are leaving? Well, I didn't take my pack off yet. Bye! I just fucking take off. I get up to the top of the mountain. The guy who's climbed it the fastest in the whole fucking world lands a helicopter on the top of the mountain.
What?
And he's,
that day?
He's looking for the dude who died snowboarding.
Oh, you saw
there's that? A whole family of people looking for this guy who died snowboarding on Mount Shasta. And this dude in a snowstorm, he lands his fucking helicopter, and I kind of run towards him, and he runs over towards me, and he thinks maybe
you're him.
It's that snowboarder dude. And he comes up and he sees me, and he's like, what the fuck? You're up here right now? And I was like, I fucking charged it, dude. Like, I don't know how fast I did it. I didn't, like, keep a time watch on it or some shit like he did to beat the record. But he was blown away. And then I'm waiting for Santaj and Dave, and I brought my bong with me.
Made me carry it.
And I was like this. I'll fucking not. I can't. I'm too tired, and it's 14,420 feet. You'd think at 420 you'd want to do a B-rip. I was like, the fuck this. I got to go down the hill. So I just went all the way back down the hill by myself to the camp and waited for you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't think I'd get into that fucking Antarctica UFO
site?
You don't think I can do it?
I don't know. That was 20 years ago, man.
What I'm interested in is that when Ed and I climbed Mount Whitney, I've got a shot class that says the elevation, 14,490
feet. Whitney,
Houston. Well, I just looked up the elevation. It's 14,504 feet.
It is taller than Shasta.
It's grown. It's the tallest in the lower 48.
Yeah.
It's grown since I climbed it.
Wow.
It's grown from 14,496 to 14,504.
That's wild.
Like 10 inches or whatever.
Feet.
14,496.
Feet.
Feet to 14,504, so 96. Yeah, it's grown 10 feet.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, I was amazed by that because I expected the elevation to be the same. And it's not the same.
Right.
The Sierras are getting taller.
Dude, I single kayaked for 3 hours the other day, and then I right after drove for 3 hours to get back to Santa Rosa. Fucking, how awesome was that kayak trip?
That was fun, man. We were up at Ed's.
The water is crystal freaking clear. I mean,
Redway,
it's so Grabberville. Awesome. The redwoods, the ferns, the trees are huge.
It's very pristine, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're going down this river, and there's rapids, and I'm bonking and chugging and, you know, muscling it through and doing it, and then I see this one section, and I'm like, fuck. You got to go to the left. You got to go to the left. I go to the left. Dump into this like mini waterfall, and I almost like my canoe is tipping to the right. Really, like I'm gonna roll this fucker, and I just lean to the left, and dig in with the paddle, like gah. And it's weird if you have the wrong move, like the right to the left side, it moves it a different way. You really gotta know what you're doing. And I scrambled out of that thing, and then I'm in like the mellow current, and I just spin around, and I'm like this. This is going to be funny. I get to watch Santaj, 6'9" Santaj, in a little mini canoe. I'm like, oh, this is going to be funny. He drops in, hits it. Oh, same as me. Almost rolls it. Leans in, digs in, pulls out of it. I was like, nice, high five.
All
like,
the other groups tipped
dude,
over, but we
so
did.
Hilarious. Like,
we had a good time.
There's only one spot on that river where it was like,
almost
it's pretty
fell
dicey, dude.
I almost
like,
went
you,
over
if
another
you don't
time.
Have muscles and you don't know what you're doing, you're
yeah, going
to
go
it.
Over. Yeah, the girls like, didn't know how to do it.
Me and Zendash both muscled through that shit. I was like, good job, Ollie. That was fucking cool. I like Ed's place up there.
Yeah.
The house was built in 1920.
Wild,
it's still there. They haven't done much restoration to it. It is still strong as fuck.
I remember one of the years we went, one of Ed or your friends brought their like gorgeous Russian girlfriend.
Yeah.
That was Jake's. Uh-huh. That was Jake's girlfriend. That girl with the tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. That was Jake's girlfriend, dude.
All right.
I think Santa's was with Jerry.
He came up.
Yeah, Jerry was there. Anyways, freaking, like, we had a good day. Let's wrap it up to some old funky mellow. super hot out. There's nothing better than a cool breeze.